Welcome in to a Saturday edition of the Daily Tap. It is Saturday, June 23rd. Charlie here with you, coming to you live from the new Snow Tap offices. I have moved. I am still in the process of moving. This is probably going to be a short Daily Tap because I realized that my time is limited. I tried to tape a podcast I started. I got about, 3 minutes in, and then I was interrupted by the Steinhoffels people delivering my couch, and then I had to move the couch in, and now I'm like, okay, the rest of the moving process probably take place. I don't know if my girlfriend would be too pleased with me blogging all day. I would like to. I would like to just hang out, watch the World Cup, have a few beers, enjoy myself, but unfortunately that is not what I will be able to do. So we could still talk a little bit about what happened last night with the Brewer game, talk about the Bucks getting a deal next because of guys like Adrian Wojnarowski, and maybe talk a little bit about the media and Giannis and everything like that. Just worth mentioning. Who knows? Maybe I'll talk about Jesus being an all-star instead. We'll see. One of those might be a blog post, but regardless, let's chat about the Brewers last night. So Brewers win 2-1. Game that maybe the Brewers shouldn't have won. Jack Flaherty strikes out 13. He only allows one hit total. That one hit was a home run to Jesus Aguilar. Jesus Aguilar provides two of the three hits. Two of those three hits were home runs. They won the game for Milwaukee in the ninth inning on a walk-off majestic thunderbolt, as my dad called it. It was an amazing thing. Jesus Aguilar continues to show out for the Brewers. It's definitely like something special is happening with him and the team. The Brewers are making a definite push to get him into the All-Star game. There is a Jesus to DC hashtag that has been started. Jesus Aguilar is not even on the ballot, so remember that. He's not even on the ballot right now, and yet the Brewers are trying to get him in the All-Star game. You know, we talked about, if you listen to the podcast last Saturday, we talked about how Jesus, we didn't mention Jesus. We kind of said, yeah, he's had a good year. There may be a case to be built, but it's not entirely that great. Well, he continues to dominate, and he continues to play really good baseball. He continues to be, his numbers right now are best first baseman in the league. He's number two behind Freddie Freeman. I mean, that is fantastic. That is a fantastic season thus far. And even in fact, they hadn't played for most of August or April, excuse me. So the fact is like Jesus Aguilar definitely deserves to be an all-star. He's definitely an all-star caliber first baseman. The question is, will he get in? You know, we talked about this, not to repeat myself, but the guys who are going to be, who should be all-stars, there's no guarantee that they're actually going to get in. Guys like Lorenzo Cain, Christian Yelich, Josh Hader, Jamie Jeffries, Mike Perella of MLB.com does sort of a chart of guys who should be in, and he doesn't take fan voting into consideration. It's all numbers based. Mike Perella, first of all, is a great follow if you're a baseball fan. He's perfect. He's very analytical, but he's also very fair. I think he is top notch in terms of baseball Twitter. But Mike pointed out he had Yelich and Kane both starting. He had Josh Hader also on the team, and Travis Shaw also on the team. So he had four all-stars for the Brewers. I think Shaw has sort of fallen back a little bit just in the last few weeks, just because I think he's hurt. I think he's a little banged up right now. I wouldn't be surprised if he moves down the order or takes a day off. Who knows? Maybe they put Jesus Aguilar at third base and let Ryan and Thames at first and Ryan Braun in left. Who knows what kind of creativity Craig Counsell brings to the table with today's lineup. But I think Jesus Aguilar definitely deserves to be an all-star, and he definitely deserves to have that sort of that is stowed upon him. He's having an amazing year. It's out of nowhere. It's kind of the reason we love baseball, right? There are guys like Jesus Aguilar who can come up and just have massive years and play a huge role in carrying a team to the playoffs. We saw this happen with Nigel Morgan. I realize that Jesus Aguilar is a far different player than Nigel Morgan, but Nigel Morgan had an all-star caliber year for the Brewers. Nigel Morgan never really was able to repeat that year. That year sort of lives in infamy. but that Nigel Morgan will always be a part of Brewer history. He will be a guy in 3 years who is back for the 10th anniversary. You're going to have, and if the Brewers end up being successful and they win the division, and maybe Jesus Aguilar never has a season like 2018 again, but he will always be remembered as part of this Brewers team and part of Brewer lore. Brewer history is somewhat deep, but it's not the deepest. So you do get guys like this to sort of have these memories, and I really love it. I love that part of the Brewers. I think it's what makes it special, and you wonder if something special is happening with this team. This is just, you keep having these moments. You keep having these big games where you have memorable calls from Brian Anderson and Bob Uecker, and just something special is happening. And if you're not on board for some godra awful reason, get the fuck on board. We're into the middle of summer. Get out to your local ballpark. See the local nine, as they say. I'm potentially going to 3 games on the next homestand. I'm definitely going Monday night, and I'm going to be there on Saturday with the Snow Tap crew. I've didn't decide if we should do like a podcast as we're watching the game. I don't think we would. I think we would annoy too many people. They'd be like, "Why are you talking on your phone throughout the baseball game?" But seriously, it will be a fun time with Murph and Mitch. We'll definitely try to do a roundtable podcast maybe before we go to the Brewer game on that Saturday. A little hangover pod after probably will be a rough Friday night. So, but no, getting back to that, like, yeah, this team has been awesome. I think the fact that they have built so much real estate in the St. Louis Cardinals' head is absolutely phenomenal. I mean, the Cardinals, it's completely flipped the script. Like, we saw it last year we saw it in 2011 and 2012, even 2013, about how this Brewer team really would play tight against the Cardinals, and the Cardinals would just handle their business. And you started to see it last year. The Brewers had a pretty good record against the Cardinals last year. People sort of forget that. It's conveniently missed in the whole, oh, the Brewers collapsed last year and let the Cubs win the division and yada yada and all that bullshit. They actually had a really good year against the Cardinals, and they've kind of kept that up this year. They've been played real well against them, and a lot of it's been at Miller Park, and they get a chance today to take the series. And if you take the series today, it's house money on Sunday. I still think it's a house money weekend. I know that some people would be like, you got to get one more game to get 3 out of 4, but beggars can't be choosers. I mean, you just really hope for a 500 split, and then you play 2 against the Royals, you go 500 at home, probably want to be 4-2. I think, yeah, maybe, I guess you want one more win, but today's going to be tough. Miles Mikolas has been a tough pitcher all year. He did struggle in his last start against Philadelphia. Chase Anderson, we know, has been gas can light. I wouldn't say he is a gas can. He's more just like, he's had moments of gas cannery. He's definitely given up a lot of home runs, but this Cardinals offense has really not been producing. So who knows? Maybe Chase Anderson is getting St. Louis at the right time. He does have bad career numbers against the Cardinals, but we've seen with Carlos Martinez, who had great numbers against the Brewers, that might not mean anything. But and we'll see if there's any retaliation from the slide with Eric Sogard. There shouldn't be, but if the Cardinals are really just sort of, if they really are mental midgets, you'll see something come up in the beginning of this game. I guarantee you will. I don't know if the Cardinals want to establish dominance. I don't know. If I was the Brewers, maybe I brush back a Cardinal early on and see what happens. Like, I'm not advocating you hit a guy, but see if you can get in their head a little bit more. See if you should just keep talking. See if you get a guy like Yadier Molina, who looked a shell of himself with a pass ball and a drop ball. I thought BA and Rock had a great broadcast yesterday. They were making fun of the Cardinals a little bit. Really fun project, but they still will go to fucking war with Yadier Molina. Yadier Molina could do the worst thing in the world, and I think BA and Rock would find an excuse, especially Rock. He loves Yadier Molina. Like, he definitely goes to sleep with Yadier Molina PJs, but still, it was, like I said, it was a good broadcast. I'm not going to throw too much shade, but yeah, I would definitely do some things to needle the Cardinals today. I think you definitely want to do something like that, and I really think that it should be a fun day at the ballpark. I'm definitely looking forward to seeing what happens tonight and seeing what the Brewers can do this afternoon. All right, moving on to sort of some drama that came up with the Brewer or the Bucks. So there was released by Travis Schlenk of the Atlanta Hawks. He was on a San Francisco radio station. He was a former Warriors GM or Warriors front office man, as you know. So he was talking to a radio program and said, "Hey, yeah, we had a deal actually for the 17th pick. We were going to give the Brewer or the Bucks. I keep saying that. We're going to give the Bucks the 19th and the 30th pick." And it basically got nixed because we found out they were taking Dante DiVincenzo. Now, they wanted Kevin Huerter. I'm probably butchering his name, the kid from Maryland. Both redheads, funny enough. And the Bucks must have made it seem like that they were going to take this kid. And John Horst played his hand well and almost got it over. And somehow it leaked to the media. Now, you know, people were advocating like Sparky on WSSP that somebody should be fired. That did the media like ruin this thing for the Bucks? And how much should the media be at fault? And I think if I am the Milwaukee Bucks, here is what I do. First of all, let's clear the air. I don't think you can stop the media from reporting. You don't want to tell the media what to do your job. You know, it is a free market society. People can, you know, can and will and should release information when they have it. They want to be the first. It is the generation of Twitter. I took a shot at Shams and Woj, and I mean it. You know, it's kind of like, fuck these guys. Like, they cost the Bucks a late first round pick. They cost them Omari Spellman or Jalen Brunson or Devontae Graham from Kansas. I mean, the couple foreign players. Like, there were guys who were readily available that could have contributed to this Bucks roster. And I think the Bucks wanted another, you know, veteran guy who, and Graham, Brunson, Spellman are all guys who could have easily been part of that situation. But unfortunately, that does not happen. Instead, the Bucks only get DiVincenzo. And it's disappointing, to say the least. So here's what I would do if I was the Bucks. I would say that I'd have a league memo. I'd have a memo to everybody in the front office. I'd have it to literally the entire staff. And to say, you will cease to cut off communication with every source that you have. In that, we are starting anew. We are not letting things out this door. I don't care who your sources are. I don't care how close of friends you are with these people. You tell them that you are no longer to provide any information related to the Milwaukee Bucks, and we'll start new relationships, we'll start new sources, and you really become insular, you really become isolated, and it becomes Red China. And I know that it's frustrating as a Packer fan, the Ted Thompson era where nothing got out, but that is literally how the Bucks should be approaching this. They should be approaching it with a Thompson-like mentality and not letting anything slip through the cracks any longer. There is no way that this should be taking place. It is absolutely a joke. It's so sad for the Bucks. It's classic Bucks luck, really, but it's going to just be the annals of what ifs for Milwaukee. And you know, those are few and far between and everything like that. So definitely disappointing. I think it's interesting that Schlenk sort of let that out and let that be a thing. I think maybe that was a shot at Woj and Shams, and some people really didn't like what Woj did. I kind of, other than what he did with the Bucks, I thought, you know, Woj started did the damn thing. We talked about it on the podcast yesterday. I thought it was a great fuck you to his bosses, and definitely something that I think you'll start seeing more people do. I think he definitely paved the way to sort of tip these picks. And Woj is an interesting guy, and it'll be interesting to see how the Bucks handle this sort of thing. Moving on to the final topic of the day. So with Giannis, I did want to touch on this real quick. I think I'm going to write about this, but I just want to call out Sports Illustrated, Andrew Sharp particularly. Andrew Sharp's been a pretty big supporter of the Bucks, and he's wrote a lot of good things about the Bucks. Unfortunately, Andrew Sharp probably wrote one of the worst things about the Bucks and saying, "What will Milwaukee keep Giannis?" Now, let me remind you, Giannis is not a free agent this summer. Giannis is not a free agent next summer. Giannis isn't a free agent even the summer after that. He is a free agent in 2021. So actually 3 years. So I was wrong. Regardless, leave him alone. Can we just stop this right now? I understand that there is a possibility that Giannis could leave the Milwaukee Bucks. I am not naive. My head is not buried in the sand. But for the media to just create fake stories to dream up situations and to think that Dallas will hold on to Kostas Antetokounmpo for 3 years to lure Giannis to play with his brother. Kostas isn't that good, guys. We have to know this. Kostas is fine. He's a decent player, but he's probably going to end up like Thanasis and go overseas and have a good, successful overseas career. Alex is the one that's good. Alex is the one you should be referencing. Alex, I think, may be ready to go. I don't know what his years are, but he's going to be a pro sooner rather than later as well. So, just like, let's not do this. Let's not talk about this. Why aren't we writing articles about what pieces can Giannis bring to the table? Is it just that there is such a disrespect for the fucking Bucks and what the Bucks do that people can't realize that Giannis is here for the long haul? Does it just blow people's mind that some guy could stay in a small market city? Because heaven forbid that happens. It's infuriating. It's infuriating to keep seeing these stories. The Ringer was famously known for it. Haley O'Shaughnessy, she did her damn thing for a couple times. Now the baton's been passed to Andrew Sharp, and the baton will be passed again to some Bleacher Report fuck, and then someone else will do it. You know, I just think everyone keeps coming at Giannis's throat, and maybe it's a sign that Giannis has reached star potential and that people are so invested into where he's going to go next and invested in his next move, and Giannis drives clicks, so people want to write about him and have to figure out ways to do it, and this is the only way to do it. So keep Giannis's name off your lips, off your computer screens, and let him just be him and let him live in Milwaukee. And that, as Forrest Gump would say, that's all I have to say about that. So I didn't tell you at the beginning, SnowtapWI is where you can find us, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, website. We should be cooking today if I get some time to blog. You know, it's the alternative source for sports here in Wisconsin. You also will know that you can subscribe on iTunes, subscribe on Google Play, subscribe on SoundCloud, Stitcher, the whole thing. We will be back tomorrow. I don't know if I will do a third straight day on my phone, but I will. Hopefully, maybe the studio will be set up. Excited to have a new studio, have a new sort of office space to do the podcast. Looking forward to it, and looking forward to talking to you guys again on Sunday. All right, take care, Tappers. Have a good one. Bye.